Genesis 32 from verse 24. Genesis 32 from verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Can we read verse 28 together? "And he said, Thy name shall be no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and has prevailed." Now, what we want to look upon this night is how to have power with God. What does it mean to have power with God? Like a prince. You know, God is an object and a metaphoric teacher. Sometimes he uses objects to illustrate some spiritual things. Sometimes he uses metaphors. Now he has decided to use a metaphor. It's a like, a similar. Like a prince, thou hast power with God and hast prevailed. Now we are going to begin by opening up the scripture that we have read, using every other aid and agency that is available to us in the entire scriptures to open up this scripture that we have read, so that we can begin to build from that point. And in keeping with that, it will be needful for us to look upon Hosea chapter 12. Now, the reason why we are doing this is this. The Bible says in the book of Genesis that Jacob wrestled with a man. Hallelujah. That's coded language. You see, the Bible is such a wonderful book. And it is written in such a way that if you are not really in search of the mind of God, you will not find anything. There are some codes that are trapped into some verses because the secrets that those verses carry are anchored on those codes. Genesis chapter 32 happens to be one of those chapters of the Bible that is deeply encoded, and we'll need to search it out from other places in scripture to have an accurate interpretation of the things that are held up in those scriptures. And so we need to consult with Hosea chapter 12. Because in Hosea, a prophet is giving us spiritual insight into that which we just read about. And in his spiritual insight, he dabbles into many other things that exposes the codes that were used in the rendering of the narrative. So let us look upon Hosea chapter 12 and get the codes. What are the differences that we are going to find in the testimony that is handed out by Hosea? Hosea chapter 12 verse 2. "The Lord had also a controversy with Judah, and we punished Jacob according to his ways. According to his doings will he recompense him. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, He had power over the angel and prevailed. Now, in Genesis chapter 32, it is recorded that it was a man that Jacob contended with, but when the prophet was decoding the encoded account, he revealed more plainly to us that it was an angel that he contended with. Are you with me now? Jacob contending with an angel. For a long time, I've had to meditate on that scripture. Given all the indicators we have in the entire Bible of the capacity of angels, I do not consider it possible for a man to be able to contend with an angel successfully. Angels actually are in categories. Yes, they are messengers. In simple, plain language, but officially and in official capacity, they are executioners. They exist to carry out orders that have been verified to come from the ultimate king of the entire universe. The Bible reveals that they excel in strength. And the word excel there is that they have increasing intensity of strength. All right? So an angel can have different modes of strength. They excel in strength. The Bible reveals that they are spirits. And the Bible also reveals that in manifestation, they are like flames of fire. Amen. I say amen.
Amen.
So whenever you see fire, like in the burning bush, it was an angel that decided to make himself visible. Because if they were to be made visible in some contexts, then we assume the shape of fire. Now it was a burning bush that Moses saw, but an angel spoke to him through the flame. Are you still with me? Because they sustain that mode of manifestation most of the time when they are made visible. Now, when you look into the ministry of William Marion Branham, you will find that while he ministers, sometimes fire will appear on his head. Now, what was happening is that the angels that minister with him came to, that is the ministry, the real ministry of signs and wonders. Now, the ministry of signs and wonders is different from the ministry of healing and miracles. Now, most of what we call signs and wonders are just healings and miracles. Jesus had a ministry of signs and wonders. The ministry of signs and wonders was what was in operation when Jesus turned water to wine. Every of such sign that Jesus did was pointing to something about the kingdom of God. Now, so signs, the ministry of signs and wonders is an illustration, is a pictorial, dramatic illustration of the powers of the kingdom of God. William Branham had such a ministry. And because of the delicate nature of his ministry, in fact, I believe that God was trying to bring the ministry of signs and wonders back to the body of Christ through his ministry. But something happened along the way and we were shortchanged. But I believe that in the coming revival, that the way healing is commonplace now, the ministry of signs and wonders will be commonplace. Now, it's not for an amen. I'm just announcing. In dreams, I have seen that there are times where we will minister and literal fire will appear. Fire that can be seen by the naked eye. That's a dimension of the angelic ministry, bringing themselves into manifestation. And that was what characterized the ministry of Branham. There were dimensions of God that were beyond bodily healings. And in the ministry of signs and wonders, even the most chronic unbeliever will be convicted of the reality of God. Now, whereas in the healing ministry, somebody can come and lay and make a claim that these people were not sick before. You are just trying to parade something to create false awareness. But a man that has a ministry of signs and wonders, even his worst critics, will not be able to deny the dimensions that he carries. Because it goes beyond that which a human being can speak against. And so they took pictures from Branham's camp meetings and took them to photo studios to check and to analyze what photo trick was used to put the fire on his head. Because the atheists don't believe that there's God. Now this guy is carrying fire on his head. Let us find out which photo trick. These things are verifiable in the laboratory. And then they now bring the pictures and take them to the lab. And when they test it, it is free of photo tricks. This is real. And that's why if you check President Obama's pictures from the time he started his administration, there is still a hall in U.S. where the picture of Branham with fire is still there. As a pointer to the fact that there was a time in that land where the Ministry of Science and Wonders was made manifest. And their current scientists have not been able to disprove the fact that there was a man that was a man of fire. That was the nature of Elijah's ministry. It was a ministry of signs and of wonders. Not of healing and miracles, but of what? Of signs. Are you with me now? Now, there are some of us that are here now that will not taste of death until your hand will manifest signs and wonders. We also heard of a prophet here in Nigeria, one of our own, that had a ministry of signs and wonders. He did not live for too long. But some people say he lived for 38 years, some others say 58 years. I don't know which one is correct. But I was shown a picture where he accosted some witches in a particular village after 40 days of fasting. And he told the witches that they should gather at the market square where their coven was. And he challenged them and asked them to kill him for 1 hour. And then he sat down and was reading his scriptures, waiting for them to use all kinds of witchcraft to occasion his demise. And after 1 hour, he now took the challenge that me now want to kill you. They repented. Because the way he started his own match was, he called the name of Jesus, and before the eyes of the spectators, literal balls of fire fell down from heaven like the days of Elijah. And consumed the witchcraft coven, that the tree that housed all witchcraft activity in the village. When they saw that the tree burned by literal fire, even witches repented, and there was a great revival. You can deny the ministry of healing and miracles, but you cannot deny the ministry of signs and wonders. Because it's a literal display, a showcase of angelic might, in so much that they make themselves available to visual eyes and to visual visions. And the Bible reveals in Hosea that man that we were told that Jacob contended with was actually an angel. Now, please take a deep breath. And try to imagine a man fighting, contending with an angel. I like for you to know that a lot of us actually do that. That contention between men and angels, we are guilty of it. Nevertheless, let's continue in our reading. Where did we stop? Verse 4. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us, even the Lord God of hosts. The Lord is his memorial. That's a good place to say amen. Amen. Now, these are dark and deep spiritual things arrayed before us in the testimony of the scriptures. The Bible says that this man contended with an angel. And I want to find out in what context and by what modality can a man stand the fury, the fire, and the fate of an angel. Now, I think in this lecture we'll have to find out exactly the lifestyle of angels. I prefer that they be called executioners. They do not formulate policies to execute themselves, but they carry out policies already formulated by a higher one in the kingdom of God. And every time you see them in motion, they are not in motion because of their own issues. They are in motion because of God's issues. Are you with me? And there were several human beings that were given the same kind of assignments as these angels were given. One of them was Saul. Saul was called to be an executioner. And the reason for his throne was because God had some enemies he wanted to take out. And God has decided, you see, God doesn't just want to win battles, he wants to win them in a certain way. It's not enough for you to win his battles for him. You must comply with his modality of winning those battles in keeping with his own perspective. And the reason why Saul lost his throne was because Saul violated one of the details in delivering the victory that God had released from the realm of the spirit. Because the detail of the mission was that men and animals should be cleared out. Hallelujah. Because the king, Saul, was an executioner. Are you with me? But he went and killed and then kept livestock. And in the way of the executioner, because he had violated the policy that he was supposed to execute, his throne was no longer valid. Now, so we cannot understand the ministry of angels outside of that context. They live to execute the will and the purpose of God. So the only basis upon which contention between a man and an angel might find expression is with regard to what? To the will of God. Oh, you are not with me. Okay, let me use some other scriptures to give us some insight. Joshua was dispatched to take Jericho as an executioner. Jericho was an impossible fortress. It had impregnable walls that have never been breached. There was no form of military formation that was capable of delivering Jericho into the hands of Joshua. And then God decided to show him the spiritual resources that have been made available to ensure his victory. And while he moved around the camp of battle, one of the angelic executioners dispatched to fight alongside the camp of Israel, because Joshua was being educated that it's not only physical military personnel that are part of Israeli army. They are also supernatural. There's a supernatural side of the Israeli army. And Joshua was being educated. And suddenly he met an executioner. And when he met the executioner, it was obvious that he had no orientation about the mission and the assignment of angels and how compatibility with angelic ministry was actually established. He violated protocol in the first question that he intended to ask. What was his question? Are you for us or against us? What was the response of the angel? Nay, I'm not for you and I'm not against you. But these are my marching orders. As a commander of the Lord's host, am I come? So at any point in time that I find you against the Lord of hosts that dispatched me, you can as well be on the other side of my sword. Oh my. You are not here. I am not, tell your neighbor, I'm not for you. And I'm not against you. I'm as neutral as possible. But my marching orders are clear. And they are devoid of any form of ambiguity. And just in case you find yourself within the scope of my jurisdiction, in that occasion, you with your fine face will constitute an enemy. Now, so if there is any form of contention whatsoever, it will be with respect to the will of God. Are you following me now? Okay, now you have believed me now, because the scriptures have clearly spelled it out. Would have gone more, gone further on the Jericho episode for you to see the interaction, the participation between heaven and earth. Now, unknown to you, in your daily life, there is angelic interference. Sometimes, some of you have been involved in ghastly motor accidents and you came out. There were angelic interference. How many of you have been in the car that collided, that crashed before? Oh my. Glory be to the name of Jesus Christ. How many of you have been in an accident that somebody died before? You saw a dead man in the massacre, in the carnage. Hallelujah. Now, angelic activity is simulated into human existence. Because God has a stake among men. Hallelujah. He has a stake among men, and because of that, there are interferences. Now, but these interferences are actually regulated or made available by reason of prayer. It's prayer that grants earthly permission for heavenly interference. And just in case a situation exists where, are you with me? It is as though there was no defense at all. It was a one-way massacre. It was because there were no resources that the angels could leverage upon to use the limitations of circumstances to affect deliverance, to effect deliverance. Are you still with me? Now, so we have these interferences find expression because these beings are executioners that have been dispatched by God to carry out missions and assignments from God. Amen. Now, having understood that, then I think we need to go back to the book of Genesis and begin to glean from that point. And let us see at what point was Jacob considered to be a prince. Because there are two things I want us to pick from that scripture. Because the title of our concentration is having power with God. Hallelujah. Whereas Pastor George can come, and when he comes through his prayer, he can effect an intervention from heaven. Amen. When you see a man speak, and the effect of his utterance find expression practically, it's because around his life, the activity of angels ascending and descending is predominant. And I'm going to show you a few things here as we move on. When you see a man speak, and his words are not backed up with divine potency, is a revelation of the fact that angelic activity around him is either minimal or absent. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, you don't believe that? I can show you from the book of John chapter 1. But we don't have time. So let's go back to the book of Genesis chapter 32. Maybe when we get there, we'll be able to look at those scriptures more critically and then find out what it means to have power with God. Now, the reason why I believe the Lord allowed me to focus on this subject is to show us some additives that makes prayer effective. We do not have the same nature of prayer, of answered prayer. We don't have the same results in our prayer lives. And there are some factors that are responsible. I want to use this forum to bring those factors to light so that we can look upon those factors and insist upon those factors in order for us to have power with God. In the book of Genesis chapter 24, the Bible says that Jacob was alone. This was an isolated moment. And the thing about the angel that came to wrestle with him was this. This was the challenge. The purpose or what the angel was sent to do had to do directly with that man called Jacob. You see, Jacob had already implicated himself because he had gone ahead to manipulate the way into the birthright. So on the account of the contract that had taken place between him and his brother, that contract being valid in heaven, because he was not under compulsion, he had a choice to decide that, okay, well, I'm going to skip my hunger and keep the birthright. But because he did not regard the birthright, he was willing to trade the birthright for hunger. And as manipulative as you will say the circumstance was, the transaction was recorded in the heavens. But unfortunately for Jacob, for 15 years after that interaction took place and after the transaction took place, the power of the covenant that he manipulated himself into did not feature in his life. And now, in view of the fact that the transaction was valid, God now sent an executioner. The reason why the covenant did not manifest was not because Jacob was not recognized in heaven. The reason why the covenant did not manifest was because Jacob was actually a man of the flesh. Now, when you read your Bible, Jesus has decided to speak to us in the Word of God through a lot of types and shadows in the Old Testament. Because the purposes of God were actually not hidden, but they were hidden in types and shadows that only wise men could look upon it and understand it. And that's why if God really wants to hide something, he doesn't need to hide it far off. He will hide it inside a man. For the Bible says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. So he hides things in men most times. And these men actually formulate patterns that mirror the dimensions of heaven. And so because of that, we can say that Abraham was an illustration of God the Father. The word AB in the Hebrew means source or father. So Abraham's life was put under several restrictions in order for him to be able to illustrate the person of God the Father. Are you still with me? Now, there are so many points that we can raise in the lives of Abraham that is actually accurate and actually expressive of the personality of God the Father. He is the pioneer, he is the source, he is the progenitor. Hallelujah. And so the dealings that he had were dealings that made him become an illustration of the personality of God the Father. The dealings that Isaac had made him to become an illustration of God the Son. Because that same point where Isaac was supposed to be sacrificed was eventually the same point where Jesus was sacrificed many, many years later. For instance, the Bible says, Jesus was speaking and he said, Abraham saw my day. What part of the day of Jesus did Abraham see? Hey. It was Jesus on the cross. Because actually what happened to Abraham, that place called Jehovah Jireh, most of us translate it to be God our provider. That is not accurate. Because the meaning of Jehovah Jireh means he shall be seen. It was on that mountaintop where Isaac was supposed to be sacrificed that Abraham now had a vision and saw Jesus on the cross. That this is a sacrifice I want, not your son. Meanwhile, in the heart of Abraham, he had already sacrificed the boy. So he now said, okay, between your heart and the manifestation, we stop the process because this is your son that I'm going to take for the sacrifice. So it is on that mountain where Jesus was seen. You can now understand what the Bible means that Abraham believed God and it was logically calculated unto him as righteousness. The power for him to do the thing that he did and to give the offering that he gave in that might and in that manner was not a function of his flesh. It was his spirit having faith in the voice of God that made him go that far. He was not an ordinary man. Are you still with me? Now, so Abraham is an illustration of God the Father because of the dealings he had. It restricted him and made him to advertise that dimension in God. There are many things about Isaac that actually reveal Christ. For those of us that are Bible scholars, maybe the Bible people, Pastor Dan and Esty, you do that in Bible study. Show the parallel between Jesus and Isaac. So whereas Abraham illustrated God the Father and Isaac illustrated God the Son, Jacob illustrated who? I know you will think Bible is mathematics. That's why we miss it. You will say, okay, this one is God the Father, God the Son. This one. You see, the scriptures were configured in such a way that it will not lend itself to a natural man. Every time you skid with your brain, you are in error. In fact, Jacob is an illustration of the opposite of that. Jacob is an illustration of a natural man, a carnal man. Are you with me? It is Eliezer of Damascus that is an illustration of the Holy Spirit. The man that was sent to go and bring a damsel for Isaac. Notice that he... Oh, you are not with me. Because you are not with me, let me leave that one. The father told him, put your hand on my thigh and make this promise. So the Bible revealed that the Holy Spirit is him that is sent from the bosom of the Father. That was where Eliezer's message began from. Errand, the bosom. Eliezer went to bring a bride for Jesus. And the Holy Spirit went to bring us too. Okay, let me leave that. Now, so Eliezer of Damascus is an illustration of God the Holy Spirit. Now, the whole gospel, we can preach the whole gospel in the book of Genesis. The whole thing. Rapture, everything from the book of Genesis. Because every doctrine in the Bible has its original seed lined up in the book of Genesis. It flows into mightier streams in other books of the Bible. Mightier emphasis of things that have their seeds in the book of Genesis. Until it gets to the book of Revelation, it flows into another realm entirely. But it's the same sequence. And that's why we have a doctrine that we claim to be a doctrine, and you cannot prove it from the books of Moses. You cannot prove it from the poetic books. You cannot prove it from the gospels. You cannot prove it from the epistles. You cannot prove it from the major prophets. These five blocks of the Bible. That doctrine came from your village. Sorry for that. But it's true. Amen. Are you still with me? Now, so this guy is an illustration of the natural man. And it happens to be that God has great promises for us, great things that he wants to achieve in our lives. But those things cannot fulfill themselves in our natural context. You have to assume a spiritual mode in order for those things to find expression. Just like I said when we were doing the opening prayer, God has decided by an act of his sovereignty that he cannot be touched, accessed by natural senses. And that will not change for you because you are a handsome young man. It will not change for you because you are a tall man. That's how God has decided. And if you are going to make contact with God, you are going to make contact with him by faith through your spiritual senses. That is how it works. So as much you can be heavily loaded by prophecy, heavily loaded from God, but you see, those things will not happen to you in your natural context. It must happen to you in your spiritual context. There is a you that was born again in the image of Christ. It is that you that God speaks to when he addresses. And so the reason why this angel was dispatched, this executioner was dispatched from the heavens, in order to contend with this carnal man for him to take a spiritual posture. That was a unique assignment. You see,
Jacob is a favored man, actually. He had the covenant was delaying. And so God wanted the covenant to be fulfilled. And since this one is the one now that is a valid recipient of the covenant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he's standing on a wrong airport expecting God. He's standing in the flesh expecting God that cannot be accessed from that point. So the purpose of the angel's visit and the angel's wrestling with Jacob was to wrestle him out of the flesh to consider the possibilities of the spirit. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Now let me tell you a story about my life. When we finished first degree in the university, I wanted to be a lecturer. And the reason why I wanted to be a lecturer was because I believe that I could cram the whole note and come into the class and give them notes from my brain. Structures. Well, that's carnal, but that was me. Alright? The Lord wanted me to be a preacher and a teacher of truth and verity. All the capacity that he gave me was not because of lecturing. He gave me because of what? Of his assignment. But me, I want to use those endowments to fulfill my own dream. It is for this kind of situation that angels are dispatched. Because there's no way I can understand my life. Because a time I was, oh my God, without, I don't read. I wait for 2 days to the test. I cram the whole notebook and I drop it. When I come out, I forget it. I go and preach, do something else, pray. 2 days to test. I cram the whole book, I put it. In fact, there was one lecturer, the question he asked was the whole note. That is, he asked a simple two-line question, but what he was asking for was a whole note. Those 2 lines. It was the whole note he was asking in 2 lines. And when he asked it, he said, yes, I don't get them. I copied the whole note. Jesus. The whole note was there. Now, so I wanted to be a lecturer. And God knew that I was going to succeed being a lecturer. So he had to do something about my ambition. If not, I would be successful. Woe to a man that sets out to fulfill his ambition and God allows him to fulfill it. Please help me tell your neighbor, may you not succeed in your plan. The Lord dispatched a mighty angel, because this one was mighty, to contend. That was when my grace began to fall. That was when I now lost that memory. I'll cram the whole thing, but when I'm going, I can't retain it again. Then I began to fail. My grace began to drop. I prayed and anointed the scoreboard. It fell them all. May the Lord give you understanding. Now, I open this aspect so that you'll be able to understand what I'm trying to teach. Because this thing that I'm teaching is not just in the pages of the Bible. It's happening and interfacing, is simulated into the context of our lives. Yeah, so, that was the kind of assignment that this angel that came to contend with the great Jacob was sent for. Now, behold, the prince of the kingdom that is carnal and fleshly. He has his own ambitions. And you see, the angel was not able to invade Jacob just anywhere in the world. No, he waited for him to play himself into the place where his grandfather had sacrificed to God. Amante Kozimalia. My problem started when I went for a prayer meeting. You will go by yourself. And then the person leading the prayer say, let us pray that God will take all. That's a good prayer. Take all. I assure you, I did not mean that prayer. But you see, it was better. By reason of the covenant that was established there, God had jurisdiction in that location. Oh my. So the angel will hold you you won't leave that location. Because if you transgress that location, the angel will lose validity of jurisdiction. So he journeyed, went to Laban, did so many things. Then he now came to Bethel. Now notice that the encounter was meticulously planned such that he was alone. You see, greatness is not born on the street. Many people see a great preacher rise and they look at his suit and say, my God. I've seen some people in Lagos. There are some ministers. What they do is that they go to camp meetings of bigger ministers, see the way they dress, and they copy it. Bam! If he goes on a Jerry call, if he speaks with an American tone, say, oh my God, you are blessed. Something's about to happen. Now, you see, we are so maligned. God is not that cheap to find. Meanwhile, the cross... okay, let me stop there. This one is for... If we are only ministers, I would have gone here. They would have understood what I'm saying. But let me stop. Now, that's not how to access God. If while I'm ministering now, you receive an impartation from my life such that you can access revelation the way I do. It's not you that did it. That is an impartation that God granted you. Maybe because of your desire. Alright? But if you don't have that impartation, don't try to copy. Wait for your own. Do you understand me? There's no law. You can be as you are and know God as you are. You don't need to copy someone in order for it to be approved. So let me just say that there. Now, this angel was dispatched to contend with this man that obviously was a recipient of the covenant of God on the earth. But he was of the flesh. He had ambitions that did not synchronize with the will of God. And God waited for him to come into the place of covenant, and the executioner pounced on him. Now, I've been trying in my meditations for God to take me in a vision to see that fight. How was that fight? Because the word used here is a strange word. It's a fearful word. He said, a man, what? Wrestle. That is to, you see, in wrestling, you know wrestling now. In wrestling, you will be close enough to feel the heat of your enemy. In wrestling, you will be penetrated with some punches, kicks. That means as God was using the angel to fight, to frustrate the things that this man has built so that he will give up, his inclination to his natural life was intense. He will bounce back. And you know that this fight took place a whole night. Now, I was wondering why it was a night fight. Fights are better in the daytime. You see your opponent. But this one is a night fight. Oh my. Are you getting it? It is a situation of the night that will be orchestrated, that will be most suitable for this kind of fight. God will allow some defeat to come. He will allow some failure to come. You know, my grace dropped. I was flying very high there. Then the grace began to drop. Hey, those days when I come, I was still a preacher. When I preach myself for 25 minutes. Then preach Jesus for 5 minutes and give an altar call. I had so much to talk about. I had my GP to talk about. He was flying up there. You know, I used to tell my mates that they were cursed. They read for so long and fail. It's not of the covenant. Jesus. And I had suit. That was when I wore suit, not now. I've stopped wearing suit. Then, I had a shoe of 17,000 Sanchos. Mambo se temoko. When I come like this, oh my. Now, the Lord said, let us help this boy. Let's help this boy. So an angel went and created a night condition. And if there was anything that my pride was anchored upon, it was my academic success. God knows the nerve where your flesh is leaned upon. It is leaning on something. He knows that nerve. For some of you, it's your beauty. I saw a lady those days when we were classmates in the university. There was a lady, her heel doesn't touch the ground. She's, hey. And the angel brought a night situation. It's not every condition you can buy in the mountain of fire. Because some of them, executioners of God, came to bring it. An evangelist can come to town and say, tomorrow it will shine. When he goes, you will still continue. Because anointed it is far more. And then when that which I felt I was strong in was slipping away, then I now was willing to consider. You'll be broken and conquered before you now accept the way of God. Nobody accepts God's way naturally. It comes by the hand of the executioner. But the thing about Jacob's fight was that he took all night until the break of day. That means his flesh was intense. He was failing, but yet he was still holding on. I will rise again. Instead of him to yield and say, I've seen your power. It was. And he still held on. So what the angel did was that he touched his strength. Just like everybody has a strength. My strength was in my academic performance. So he touched my strength. And with the going down of my academics was a going down of my pride. He touched the strength. The lady that was like cat, I saw her 8 years later. She was as fat as a drum. Sella. Tell your neighbor, the Lord will touch the strength. It was when the strength was touched that God now told me why the fight took place in the first place. I wanted you to preach for me, but you were busy preaching yourself. So I was waiting, and time was going, so I had to help you. Was there no other way that we could have done this thing and I would have gotten the first class and served you as first class? See, I had already seen that if you get that first class, even in the morning you will still be fighting. I've seen it. See, was I that bad? You were bad. It is in brokenness that destiny is accepted. He lost his strength. And he came out of that place limping. And from that point, you'll be limping for life. Notice that the Bible says that he was standing on his staff when he prophesied to his children about the things that will yet come. The staff was added after better. Because his strength. At that point in time, he will have to lean on something. In the book of Genesis, while he was prophesying to his children, there was no testimony of walking stick. Oh, I don't want to go into that. Genesis didn't reveal that he had a staff. It was when the story was told later, the place of his staff was recorded, that he was leaning on his staff and he spoke about the things that were happening in the life of his children. And you know, that was not a prophetic service. He was not prophesying. He was shaping their destiny. He said, Reuben, because you encroached on my jurisdiction, your destiny is the excellency of wisdom and of power, but I change it. Unstable as water, you shall not excel. He was not prophesying. He was shaping their destiny as a prince. He had stature in the realm of the spirit, and he could move. He had power with God. He could change things. Even, let me stop there. Now, the Bible says before he conducted that spiritual ceremony, he was leaning on his staff. That means he never recovered from the touch. It is because his strength was taken away that he became perpetually indebted to the Holy Ghost, and he lived like that, limping. You get the context now. Now, let me show you a practical. I searched the scriptures to find a scenario that is plain plain enough to reveal the manifestation of power with God. And of all my sets, I think 2 Kings chapter 20 gives us the best and easiest entrance into the concept of having power with God. Now, listen to me. Let me put some things down. Are you still with me here today? Let me put some things down clearly so that it will be easy for us to assimilate the things that we are talking about. Okay, no, let me leave it. When the scripture introduces it, then I will speak about it. There are three things that will influence the kind of results you get in your prayer. We'll get that as we continue in the study. Now, can we go in our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 20? Are you there? 2 Kings chapter 20. If God is already blessing you, say amen.
Amen.
You know, the time has come for us to reach out into the depth of what the knowledge of God is. To use that capacity to forcefully forge the path that God has called us to walk upon. The day where men of ranking are required to do the will of God at this point. Princes, people that have spiritual and official ranking. Those are the people that can change some things, some patterns in family patterns. Patterns within the clan and the local government. Patterns within the nation. Cycles and circles. We need ranking men to come upon the scene and to create a path for the fulfillment of the will of God. Now, in the book of 2 Kings chapter 20, the Bible says in those days was Hezekiah sick. You know what I crave? I crave a time where we sit down on the scriptures from morning to evening. Now, these 2 hours we do is not sufficient to really go anywhere. We can't travel. Where we can stay from morning to evening and then pray from evening. We'll start from morning, we'll end by 8. We'll start 9 a.m. end by 8 p.m. Do that for 3 days. We'll be washed with pure water. Hallelujah. Amen. Something will happen. Meanwhile, that was how long services were in the days of the apostles. The Lord give you understanding. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 20, the Bible says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, thus saith the Lord, set the house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto God, saying, I beseech thee. Now, please, can you check out the content of his prayer? I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I walk with thee in truth. Underline that. Number 2, and with a perfect heart. Underline that. Number 3, and have done that which is good in thy sight. Number 3, and Hezekiah wept sore, and it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out of the middle of the court, that the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, and I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee, and on the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. That is what it means to have power with God. The prophet had uttered the will of God. The man went with power, and he made God add time. God knew that in adding time there was going to be a problem, but because the man had power, God could not deny him, even though additional time will cause problem. That's a man that has what? Power with God. That's a man that has capacity to prevail with God. And for you to do this, you need ranking in the spirit. Ranking or stature is a position of favor that we acquire with God because we have yielded and submitted ourselves to his process. Now, so many people ran away when God began to deal with people. when God began to take people through process. When people began to encounter poverty, people began to encounter setback. Only one shoe, one belt. When people saw it, anxiety was built because Satan came and interpreted the situation to mean that you are a failure in the past, failure in the present, and failure in the future. And we now bought the lie of the devil, and many people left their duty post because they could not follow through in the process. But the first thing that happens to a man that survives the process is that God coronates him a prince. He now has favor with God. If that man stands to pray and to interact in the spirit realm, it is not just his voice that God is hearing. God is hearing one. What is God hearing? What's the first point? Allah, you guys did not. Oh, we are not good Bible students. I say underline three things. The first one I said you should underline is, have walked before thee in truth. So when this guy is standing and he's speaking to God and say, I insist that this happens. What he's speaking is how he has walked before God. What he's speaking at that point in ranking is how he has served God in truth. What he's speaking at that point is, number three, how he has done that which is good in the sight of God. That is ranking in the spirit. These are the instruments that can manipulate the hand of God and move the hand of God in the favor of a man. That's when normal prayer fails. When normal tongues fail, the next thing we need to look for are men of ranking. The Bible says that, is there any sick among you? Let him pray. That's one level. Let him call the elders of the church. Because the elders of the church are not the oldest people in the church. The elders of the church are not even the people that have title. The elders of the church are the people in the church that have the deepest communion with Jesus Christ. They have a statutory function in the household of God. Those are the people with ranking and stature that can come before God and say, we can consider this man's case now. We know there's sin there, but you see. And when they talk, there are years of process. Their alignment to kingdom government. Their alignment to process, to suffering for the name of Jesus Christ is what he's talking. So those ones can influence the judgment of God and say, Habba. Oh. God cannot deny them because they are ranking functionaries in the kingdom of God. I don't want to stretch it to talk about the elder. Jesus. Every preacher is first supposed to be an elder. Every man in the presbytery must be an elder first before he's brought. So he's still an elder. On a basic level, he's still an elder. He was an elder before he was. He's the people among the elders that are called into the fivefold ministry that are separated into the presbytery. There are some other elders that are not called into fivefold. They remain elders just because. So we are all supposed to be fundamentally what? Men of ranking and men of stature. Men that have sustained a walk with God not less than 10 years of consistent followership. Men that have expressed a conviction before their generation, irrespective of the contradictions of situations, of circumstances. Men that have yielded to the process of government as established from the third heavens and have not denied the name of the Lord. When they stand to talk, even though God's will is clear about a matter, they can move God's hand. Their weight can change the scales of balances. That's what it means to have power with God. That's why God said, you are like a prince ranking. You have what? Power with God, and you have prevailed. That's where I want to operate from. It's not about more years. It's about more life. A man can have more years and no life at all. It's about more life, not about more years. Help me preach to your neighbor. It's about more life. Ranking is a dimension of life in Christ. A man that has more years can come and cry there. God will not hear him. Because he doesn't have stature in the realm of the spirit. There were a few men in scriptures that could change the scales, the testimony of the scales of balances. Men like Abraham. He came upon the scene. The verdict, the perspective of heaven was that iniquity and treachery has been found in Sodom and Gomorrah. And the verdict of heaven is total destruction. Total. And Abraham came and said, wait now, let's talk. Haba. What if you find 50? He said, okay. If I find 50, I will not destroy you. Hey, don't be offended. What if in this 50, 30 go on vacation, and on ground as we speak now, we have just 20. See, his stature, he was wielding his stature. And God kept reducing the scope of judgment because a man, a prince, a man of stature. Now, please help me tell your neighbor, we are not the same. In the realm of the spirit, we have different sizes. Now, I'm going somewhere. A man that is size 2 in the spirit realm wants to contend with a demon that has capacity of size 13. What's the name of that situation? It's called disaster. It's not every demonic thing that you have clearance to tackle, even though you speak in tongues in the night loud. The last time Jesus said, minister to that your neighbor, till you part from that compound, you didn't obey. Meanwhile, your tongues are still intact. It has impacted on your stature. When last did you obey God swiftly, promptly? We are just many in church, but the people that God is using to do his work are few. And he knows them. And it's not as if those ones are just available. They had to leave some other things in order for them to be available for God. How can you have the same ranking with them and your prayer will have the same influence? It is impossible. There is a difference that believers have. And one of such differences that they have is the difference in ranking. And that is the difference. It is a major difference. Like a prince, you have power with God. And you have privilege. It is your prayer that inspired this, my sermon. That's what process does to a man. It gives him ranking and stature. So that when he stands to talk, some things are broken. Hallelujah. Some things are what? Broken. Reverend was in his car. They were bringing a madman in chains. He was driving. So they thought maybe he would come out and start a deliverance service. He said, I release you in the name of Jesus, and drove off. And the man with chain was in his right mind right there. It's not anointing. His stature is right. See, don't confuse people. Hallelujah. But a man can be anointed, and Nigeria can be in trouble, and he cannot save the country with his anointing. Because he lacks stature in the spirit realm. In times of national crisis, we seek men. That's when issues of covenant, government, ranking, and stature. Then we need to seek Daniel from retirement to come back. The one in whom is the spirit of the Holy Ghost. You understand the difference? Now, so you might be very, very anointed. But if you lack ranking, there are days where your ministry is not needed. The average young man believes if he has more anointing, he will achieve more. That is not true. Because your lifestyle is going to contradict that which the anointing is producing. You one day on the pulpit, you will recklessly say some things that are antichrist. And then the darkness that your misguided utterances will create will restrict and marginalize the body of Christ many more years after you are gone. It's a proof that you are not well gathered. that you evaded a lot of process, and what you are standing on is just the anointing. If we all decide to stop doing manifesting the gifts of the Spirit and to come with the Word of God, you know, some people's church will be empty. The anointed men, their church will be empty. But the men of stature, rainy season and dry season doesn't change their relevance. As much as we need the anointing, all right? I'm not trying to expunge the need for the anointing. But you see, there's something greater than having the anointing. That man was in the car, just say, "We are free." The people, it was not anointed. He was actually drawing from an account that he had with God. That was what Peter was doing when he stood before the crippled man at the gate, beautiful, not by anointing. He said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but by that which I have with God, that stature, I give you. In the name of Jesus." Now that's a different layer altogether. Are you with me? That's a different layer. And it was also a different, it was anointing when Peter was coming back from town and his shadow was healing the sick. That's an anointing. There are several kinds of healings you can only achieve by stature, not by anointing. Well, let me stop. Are you still here? When it comes to anointing, there is a way to arrive at it. It's through prayer and fasting. You will get anointed. At least in a measure. But when it comes to stature, it is submission to the process of the heavenly government that will give you stature in the realm of the spirit. And there are several circumstances where anointed men are cut off. Anointed men are exiled. Anointed men are dealt with by the devil. In those days, only ranking men will survive. There are seasons where, because of the sin in the land and the darkness among the ministers of a generation, there's an assault from the kingdom of darkness that is allowed. Many people begin to die at such times. But at such times, ranking men survive that kind of massacre because of where they are standing in heaven. The life of an anointed man is a perilous life. Many things seek his demise. It's only through ranking that he can survive. Like a prince, thou hast had power with God and hast prevailed. I heard that one of our fathers was praying in the camp. And there was a tremor that began from where he was praying. He was lying down. And the earth, an earth tremor was generated by his utterance. Deep was calling to deep. Even the foundations of the earth were discovered on the account of that which was rising from his heart. That is not anointing. That is stature. The man is praying with his walk with God. Praying with his yieldedness to God, praying with the marks of suffering, praying with his rank and stature, and the ground began to vibrate in Ogun State. Hallelujah. Let me stop there. There were three things that he made reference to that was the basis of his power with God. I'd like you to look at it again. Number one. Now, can we pick? Let us choose the one we'll pick from there. Let's discuss it before we close. Well, okay. You have said it. That we should talk about the perfect heart. Let's go to the book of Psalms 24. What do you pray about when you really pray? when demons come with clearance to kill servants of God, they don't have jurisdiction over ranking men. Anointed men can go, but ranking men will live. Men that have power with God are men that can move the hand of God. We cannot determine the anointing that we carry, but we can determine what? Our ranking by our work with God. It is God that determines who is more anointed than another person, because the anointing is a gift that is severally distributed unto us according as the Spirit wills. You can't determine that you carry higher anointing than myself. And that's why I know that there are several people that are going to be sons under my hand that will eventually become more anointed. I can't do anything about that. Hallelujah. He's the one that anoints. But my walk with God is what will determine my stature. The younger brother of a minister, a big minister in Abuja those days, died in the hospital. And many people came to pray for his resurrection. If I mention the names of people that came to, he's a very big man of God. In fact, the plan was for him to be taken in the night and buried. Let nobody hear that. A brother to this kind of a man died. Hey! And for the sake of the name of that preacher, they prayed for him to rise. Meanwhile, there was a man of ranking. He was outside the country. It was in the plane, while the plane was landing, that God told him, this young man had died. Go and look upon his corpse. The man came to the door of the hospital, just coming to the door, and the man rose. Now, don't clap. Wait, don't clap. Clapping is not the correct response for this moment. Now, as a younger preacher, you have to sit down and ask yourself, what just happened now? You need to see the prayers. Ikete, wombo wakade boki. And a man barely hits the door, because the Lord said, go and look upon his corpse. I don't know about you, but I want to be a man of God. Right there in the hospital door, even nurses that were Muslims knew that Jehovah had a strange man. Doctors that were atheists beheld a light that was brighter than the light of the sun. Every man's breath became short. Who is this one? He was an immortal, a colossus, an icon, and he was not popular. But he had stature. May God help us to seek for the right things. As long as you keep running away when there are challenges, you can't stand for God. Your ranking will be water level. And there are some kinds of demons that will stay around you and frustrate you for life. The man rose. And while he came in closer to him, because when he was raised from the dead, the sickness that killed him was still on his flesh. That's why if you are going to operate, if you want to raise the dead, you are going to do it by the gift of faith. Alright? And you must have the gift of healing hand in hand. Because the sickness that killed him will still be on his body while you raise him from the dead. But as he came closer and looked into his eyes, the sickness. No prayer. He looked at him intently. Hey, Kolebasima. They that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like the eagles. Now, I want to prophesy. The things that God told me, I can share it now. Because I saw in the vistas of heaven a set of ranking men that will rise from this land. That we have the capacity to make war with the utterances of their tongue. But the armies of the heavens shall back them. The things that have been hid in the land for years, by the power that they possess with God, it will be unveiled through their prayers and their walk in righteousness. The land will be released into a mighty season of boom and prosperity. The revival that is coming will be sustained by ranking men, not just by anointed men. Have you not realized that if you don't do anything about your family will remain like that? Have you not realized it? A ranking man must rise that can pray prayers that can move the hand of God. We are tired of churchgoers, tired of people that fill the seats without making decisions that are deep with God. Men that run away when challenges come to contend with their conviction. We seek such men. And the question today is, are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect another? Should we look to the clouds for a deliverer? For it is written that saviors will come out of Zion. When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of their coming? So much prayers, lead to results, because the people that pray are men that are not consistent in covenant. They take off when the chips are down and show up on Sunday with a new suit and say hallelujah. The day of film tricks are over. Now the great one seeks men that will stand with him in season and out of season. Abide in me, he says, and I in you. And the hand of God is descending from the heavens as I speak. Is descending from the heavens as I speak now. It's descending from the heavens. If you run before, do not run anymore. The great one calls you. His voice reaches into your spirit. Who shall I send and who will go? Ready to cut covenant with God. Nobody ready to stand with God. Nobody ready to spend and be spent for God. So we have a flock of Christians that have no scars for Jesus. And so our land is parched and barren, full of wars and curses, because there is none to say restore. How long shall we wait for redemption? The harvest is past. that summer is ended and we are not saved. We are not yet saved. Is it the rising of another man that will bring us salvation? How long will we wait for revival? Cause your people to mount up with wings like eagles. Let the flood of your mercy descend upon us. We are willing to tarry. We are willing to wait. We are no longer in a hurry. Can you begin to speak with him right now? It's a time to cut covenant with God. Will you also run away? Will you also desert him? Let all men that want God and him alone speak with him and ask for his strength. Ivo se kamando zima akema si kamanahana.
Of God, we call on your name.
Keep my people
who are called by my name humble themselves and pray. I will hear from heaven. I will hear and I'll heal their land. Shine on, Son of God. We call upon your name. Keep my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. I will hear and I will hear from heaven. And I will heal their land. Shine on, Holy One. We call on your name. Shine on. Shine on, Holy One. Oh, come and heal our land. We say, oh, oh, holy, holy Lord, come and heal your people. We say, oh, oh, holy, Jehovah, come and heal your land. We say, oh, 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 holy, come and heal your people. We say, oh, oh, holy, come and heal your land. We cry, oh, oh, holy, come and heal your people. Come and heal your people. Oh, we say, oh, 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 holy, come and heal your land. Come and heal your land. Sing it, holy, holy, holy. We say, holy, holy, oh, oh, people. Oh, we say, oh, 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 come and heal your life. Come and heal your life. We say, holy, holy, holy. We say, oh, 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 holy. Sing it one more time. We say, holy, holy.